Let's get into it.
I disagree. Once you see Peyton Pritchard play, you'll know why.
Josh's ultimate doppelganger.
How dare you?
No, Josh is Chris Quinn, dog.
He's so much better. Come on.
TJ McConnell.
No, yo, Roger. Have you seen a picture of Chris Quinn? This is straight up Josh, man. Look at this.
I actually have. You've mentioned it once.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're about to see it again.
Yeah, I'll take Chris Quinn. He's a great player, and now he's a great coach.
Yeah, Chris Quinn's a legend, man. And for anyone who watched the NBA between like 2005 to 2009, Chris Quinn is a legend.
Oh, wow.
Look at that. Looks exactly like him. Just bigger ears.
Yeah, much bigger ears.
Yeah, and not a Jufro.
Yeah. But what does he's look one of like? Six.
What?
There's somebody else that he looks like. I can't just put my finger on it, though.
Is it
Ethan Hawke? Ethan Hawke.
Let me see this.
I think it's pretty close.
Well, I can tell you that there are no side-by-side images, so there's that. Oh, my God.
Ethan Hawke in Training Day.
Check out this image of Ethan Hawke.
Whoa. Okay. All right.
Were you expecting that?
No, I was not.
Yo, what the fuck?
Looking good.
Shouts to Ethan Hawke. All right.
Strings.
What's up, everybody? And welcome back to the Hoops Corner. I'm your host, Peter Tran, and on the line, the Iceman himself, Josh Cohen. How you doing?
Feeling refreshed. As I mentioned before the podcast, went for a nice little run today, so I'm feeling okay. My legs don't feel so good, but I think overall, I'm feeling much better than I did yesterday.
You need a massage?
I might. I might later, yes. I have lead legs right now. It's not great.
Gotta get the wife to work, Josh.
Maybe later.
I hope she's a good masseuse. The banger in the paint, our residential medical expert, Rajan Walia. How you feeling?
You know what? I'll never deny a massage. So, Peter, if you're offering, I'll take one.
Hey. if you come to Toronto, feel free to drop by after the stay-at-home order, of course.
Of course.
We are all law-abiding citizens here. Right, Josh?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you very much for your contribution. So guys, the first thing I want to hit today, Jaylen Brown is now officially out for the season. He's going to have surgery on his left wrist, and this effectively destroys the Celtics' hopes of making it to the conference finals, making it to the second round of the playoffs, maybe even not playing in the play-in tournament. I'm pretty sure they're dead right now. Since Brown's been out this year, they're 5-5. Which means they're like literally the most average, mediocre team that you can have. And let's be real. Offense runs through one person. It's Jason Tatum, obviously. We've seen little strokes of Kemba Walker looking like his old self. He's actually had a pretty good like last couple of weeks, but still, again, slight injuries here and there always slow him down. He's talked about playing this year without knee pain for the first time in years, which is obviously a strange concept for anyone to understand. You go down the roster, Marcus Smart comes back from a calf strain this year and is kind of the same, kind of not. He looks a little bit slow. And Evan Fournier, recent acquisition at the trade deadline, also battling COVID at the time, or battled COVID just after the deadline, has finally come into form with the team. Kind of looks like he's good, but, you know, it's hard to tell with this team right now because we haven't seen them at full strength. We won't see them at full strength. Josh, do we even give them any recognition for the playoffs? Do they make it out of the play-in tournament at this point?
They are not going to make it out of the play-in tournament, and they don't deserve to at this point.
Yeah, like I think with the Celtics, like their season was always a series of what-ifs, and ultimately they're the team that now most top seeds want to play without Jaylen Brown. They haven't been consistent. They haven't been firing on all cylinders, and you remove Jaylen Brown and their depth becomes absolutely garbage. And I agree with Josh. I don't think they're going to make it out of the play-in tournament, especially with the team, especially with the way that the Wizards are playing.
Even with Jaylen Brown, their depth was not good this season. And obviously they've been hit the hardest out of any team in terms of COVID. And even in terms of injury, they've had a lot of injuries as well. So it's not entirely all the roster's fault in that case. But at the same time, you know, when they have played together, they haven't shown that they can be like a top tier Eastern Conference team. And, you know, Robert Williams is still out right now too. So I think, as you mentioned, I think the top of the Eastern Conference definitely wants to play them out of, you know, the teams that could possibly be in the lower seeded Eastern Conference between Charlotte and Washington and then Boston as well.
Hold on. For the past like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, Josh has always said that the Raptors have been hit the hardest by COVID this year, not the Celtics. And on top of that, the Washington Wizards literally couldn't see each other for like 3 weeks at the beginning of the season because they were so hit with COVID. I don't know if the Celtics are the worst hit. They can, I'll give them like top five. Whatever,
no, stats are stats. I was wrong. It is Boston.
I don't know, man. Who else has had COVID on this team other than Tatum and Fournier?
Men lie, women lie, numbers don't.
Oh, they definitely do. Tristan Thompson gave himself COVID by going out like every week.
That's part of the stats though, right? He was out for a long time.
Oh man, this team is just in shambles. Raj, do we see any like real offseason movement? Either front or like I'm talking front office movement.
I really don't think so. I think the Celtics are gonna benefit from the fact that they're gonna have a lot of what ifs scenarios and they haven't been healthy. They got unlucky with injuries and COVID. And honestly, I don't think you're going to get rid of Danny Ainge or Brad Stevens just based off of this season.
They're sort of stuck with their current roster because, you know, I'm not sure that many teams are going to be angling to get Kemba Walker on their team. And unless you want to make a massive move by trading Brown or Tatum, they're sort of locked into this roster the next little while. I mean, what they do with Fournier, who knows? He's unrestricted, I think. So chances are they're not going to be able to re-sign him unless they want to go way over the luxury tax. So, yeah, they might be stuck with this roster and just hope that Robert Williams turns into a really good center and they come back healthy. And, you know, with those five, six guys, maybe they can make a run next year.
They traded Daniel Tice so they wouldn't be in the luxury tax, right? So there's no way that they give Fournier more than what he's getting. Right now he's at $17 million. Like you said, he's an unrestricted free agent. He's out of there. There's no way. I also don't feel like Evan Fournier wants to be like third or fourth fiddle. You know what I mean? Coming from a team like Orlando where he literally ran the offense for like 2 or 3 years, took whatever shots he wanted. If it wasn't him shooting, it was either Terrence Ross or Nikola Vucevic. So, you know, why would you want to go back into a position where you're going to be behind, you're like fourth in the pecking order behind Tatum, Brown, who's going to end up being injured next year as well. You know, Kemba, even Marcus Smart is more valued to this team. Like, nah, Fournier's out of there. I can't see it.
All right, like I know we talked briefly about this. If you're the Sixers, Nets, or Bucks, would you rather play the Celtics, the Hornets, or the Wizards, assuming the Pacers just kind of choke in the play-in tournament?
The Pacers got their own shit to handle right now. Yeah. I think they're looking straight to the offseason. I don't know. Josh, what do you think?
I think you'd rather play the Celtics right now because, I mean, they have experience, obviously. But at the same time, they're such a depleted roster. Tatum would have to score like 45 plus a game in order for them to have a chance to win a few games in that type of series. And Charlotte's, you know, they're unpredictable. I mean, if Gordon Hayward comes back, they pass the ball more than any team in the NBA. They have a lot of guys that can score the ball, that can get hot during a specific game. And obviously Washington has two guys that think that they're the best players in the NBA, so they're good in a lot of different scenarios. And, you know, if they play Brooklyn, for example, especially, you could definitely see them trying to get, you know, the revenge of Russell Westbrook going into that series and taking down KD. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yo, shouts to Russell Westbrook. Josh, man, you're such a hater. I know you don't want to acknowledge this, but to take over the record from Oscar Robertson for the most triple doubles in his career, very impressive stuff, man. Show some love.
Cue the Josh.
Yes,
hate.
I am. I'm very impressed by this. Clearly. So they're what, a 9 seed right now?
10.
They're 10.
Oh, wow. Even better.
Hey,
Josh, they were battling COVID all year. They couldn't practice.
Everyone's battling COVID all year. Russell Westbrook was terrible in the first half of the season. Let's be honest.
He was playing with an injured hamstring.
Oh, wah, wah.
If I'm not wrong, Wizards at some point in the season were like 15-32.
Which makes this point all the more impressive, right,
Rush? Yeah, and then now they're what, like 17-9 or 17-7 in their past like 25 games. And out of all those three teams, the Celtics, Hornets, and Wizards, I think the Wizards are the team that the top teams don't want to play just because, again, they have some scores. They can run up the score. They play fast. So I think it won't be like maybe the most defensive series, but I think it could be a competitive one. The Celtics by far are the team that I would want to play, especially with their injuries. And the Hornets, again, they're kind of the wild card. They can play well, and sometimes they can have some games where they don't play up to their potential.
Yeah, I mean, the Hornets are also a very young team, too. So, I mean, they probably have the same chance of winning a couple of games in the series as the Celtics. But they also just have more guys that they can throw out there. So I think that they're more of a threat, even though they're not really a threat.
The Wizards are probably the only team that would actually worry any of the top seeds, right? And at that point, I mean, you know, worried in heavy quotation marks, because let's be real, once you slow down Bradley Beal or Russ a bit, I mean, they're not going to go anywhere. The Celtics have probably the easiest offense to strategize over, right? Like, all you got to do is just not even double up on Tatum, but just, you know, put a little pressure on him and then just let him score 60 if he wants. Odds are they're not going to win if he scores 60. And you can't do it every night. So, you know, just lock down everyone else and just slow down the one primary shooter, and then that's it. Pretty simple game plan.
Yeah, and their offense just isn't any good anyway. Even if he is, you know, scoring and assisting on buckets, they just don't have a lot of spurtability, as I would call it.
Spurtability. I like that. All right, well, I think that's enough crappy Celtics talk. I mean, we've given this team so much love. Not love. We've given them so much attention throughout the year, especially because they were Josh's finalist pick, which I'm going to constantly remind him of, just like we remind Raj that the Houston Rockets are the worst team in Texas.
Hey, in a non-COVID year, anything was possible.
Nope. Not when you trade away Daniel Tice because you want to save a couple of dollars and Tristan Thompson keeps going out to party instead. No, sir.
It was the time for the Time Lord. Now the Time Lord is injured. So it just didn't work out.
All right, let's move on. I want to talk about this year's play-in tournament. So obviously we're getting a couple of teams, or not a couple of teams, but, you know, four teams on both sides playing in this play-in tournament. Starts on May 18th, goes until the 21st. The season ends on Sunday. Josh, you pointed this out in our group chat yesterday. On Sunday afternoon, all 30 teams will be playing in 15 games at the same time. The reasoning behind this, despite how awful TV ratings will be, is that the league doesn't want anyone else to have a leg up knowing the results of other games. The whole point is so that everyone's on the same page, everyone sees the final results as they end their own game, and apparently this is pulled from a lot of EPL league, or like, a lot of European soccer leagues, right, Raj? Like, have you, I don't know, you're a big soccer guy. Have you seen this concept before? Do you think it works well?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if you have a lot of races, even for the top in the Premier League, the top four and the bottom four. All games traditionally play at Sunday at 10 a.m., so no team has an advantage of knowing what they need to do. They just basically have to go out and win as by as much as possible. So I think the NBA is actually taking the correct decision, even though as a viewer it's kind of unfortunate. It'd probably be better if they did an Eastern Conference time and a Western Conference, so you have different times. But the problem is there's 15 teams in each conference, so there's going to be, can't have 8.5 games, right? So, or 7.5 games.
So it looks like this idea was actually blown up an hour ago, unfortunately. Based on Sham Sharani's reporting, it says, damn. Based on feedback from teams and player health group, games on Saturday and Sunday will now be within and outside of, very odd way to put it, 12 to 3:30 p.m. Eastern time window. So there must have been some teams obviously playing the night before on Friday night. And, you know, they obviously don't want to play within like a span of, what, 15 hours? So yeah. They're going to have to get creative, I suppose.
So in or within 12 to 3:30?
And outside of. So there's going to be some games within that window, and then they're going to change some of the game times to outside of that.
So I could see if teams play on Saturday, then they'll likely have a 3:30 start instead of a 12:30 start, right? Like, I think that can be an assumption. But I think the idea is to have all the games done by the evening, you know, so it's all settled by that point. And so the league can, you know, figure out plans for the play-in tournament, get the state, like the arenas organized, get fans in there on time, and like make tickets available for these teams as well. I mean, that's what I'm hoping for, at least. I mean, not bad. Good addendum there, Josh. Is there one playoff one matchup that you guys want to see specifically? Like, Josh, are you looking forward to seeing your Suns go against the Lakers, which is going to be the most likely outcome here?
I really hope that doesn't happen. I'm not even sure what to cheer for at this point, whether it's for, you know, Lakers Clippers or, you know, Portland losing a bunch of games so that actually happens. I don't even know where I'm at right now. I just hope that doesn't happen because I want to see Phoenix advance at least one round.
I don't know, man.
We'll see.
I don't know how you can just suddenly start cheering for the Lakers to win.
I mean, Utah was doing it a couple days ago. They were really hoping that the Lakers beat the Phoenix Suns so they can, you know, basically secure the number one spot, even though they lost yesterday, and there's still a slight chance that Phoenix could get the number one seed still. But yeah, it's not looking good for Phoenix on that end of things. So I guess at that point, I'm also cheering for the Warriors to win that play-in game if that does happen. That way the Lakers go down to number 8 potentially, or maybe even don't make the playoffs. That would be fun.
So hold on, sorry, Rush. You want to see Chris Paul go against Steph Curry? I don't know, man. Chris Paul hasn't had the best record against him. Might be playing Twister by the end of the night, you know?
You know, the last time the Warriors lost before their dynasty started was to the Los Angeles Clippers in a 7-game series, so
yeah.
I disagree with you there.
Yeah, and then they started a dynasty.
Did the Clippers play them during that point?
Oh my goodness. You're talking like 6 years ago? Come on, man.
I'm just saying, Chris Paul does have some success against Stephen Curry, and they would beat the Warriors in that situation.
I don't know, Raj. What do you think?
I think whoever plays in that play-in tournament will determine a lot, but I really do still think that the Lakers are going to somehow squeeze into that sixth seed, just because if you look at the Trailblazers' upcoming schedule, they play the Jazz, the Suns, and the Nuggets in their final three, and if they're even able to win one game, I think Portland has the head-to-head against the Lakers.
They do.
Yeah. So if they're able to win one game, then it's looking promising for them to be able to have that sixth seed. But there's a realistic possibility that all three of those teams they play have something to play for, and Portland ends up dropping down to the seventh seed, which I think for the fans viewing the game, I think that's the ultimate matchup to have the Trailblazers and Warriors and the Grizzlies and the Spurs, and those four teams I think are, I would say, somewhat evenly matched, and on any given day that one of those teams can advance.
I still want to see the Lakers in a one-game scenario like that.
Of course. Just I would to love see to see the sweat. Lakers squeal. Yeah, just to see them squeal.
But yeah, I mean, right now, the probability is that the Lakers probably will be the sixth seed based on the schedules and with LeBron coming back. I think it's tonight. They're playing the Knicks, I believe, right? Or is that tomorrow?
Yeah. No, it's tonight.
Yeah, so the Lakers have a much easier schedule than them. So, I mean, for me, obviously, I want to see Lakers-Clippers in the first round, because that would just be ultimate chaos, and that's what we want as an NBA community.
A locker room series. That would be fun. I don't really care where the Lakers end up as long as they don't play the Nuggets in the first round, which I'm pretty sure just can't happen. Well, they're only 2 games back of Dallas. I mean, it technically could happen, but Dallas has been pretty hot over the past couple of weeks, so I don't really foresee them losing that fifth seed, you know?
And the Mavericks play the Timberwolves in the last game of the season, so like that's almost, I want to say, a guaranteed win, and they're playing two other teams that have probably packed it in the Pelicans and the Raptors, so I can see them. I can see them winning one or two games. It looks like Denver's going to end up playing the Mavs. Like, there's really
okay with that.
That's probably the most determined series in both conferences right now.
I mean, the best situation to be in right now is the number one seed in the Western Conference, and not enough people are talking about that right now. Like, Utah, it looks like, has a basic cakewalk to the Western Conference Finals. If everything goes right and they get their backcourt back, having to play, you know, one of the lesser teams most likely in the first round, unless the Lakers somehow lose the play-in game if they're in that play-in game. And then you go on to the second round, you play a Murray-less Denver team or, you know, a Mavericks team that may or may not have Porzingis. And if they do, they're probably still not as good as you anyway as a Utah Jazz team. I mean, Luka would be tough to beat in that situation because he can really take advantage of the Gobert pick and rolls and such. But I think ultimately you expect Utah to win that series in like five or six games. And then come conference finals, you only have to play one of those three teams that you might have to play if you were the second seed in, you know, the Lakers, Clippers, and Suns.
Yeah. Ultimately, the Lakers, like, if they can't get the sixth seed, it might even be beneficial for them to try to get the eighth seed.
Yeah.
To go to Utah first?
Well, they would have to, to get the eighth seed, they would have to play two play-in games. So they'd have to lose the first play-in game.
Yeah.
But if they won the second play-in game against...
Intentionally tanking a play-in game. Wow.
That'd be hilarious.
No, but think about it.
That'd be a hard chess move.
Yeah, but think about it. They would have to play the Spurs or the Grizzlies in the second play-in game. And I think if LeBron's healthy, that he likes his chances. And if he can't beat that team in a one game, you don't deserve to be in the playoffs. And then they play the Jazz. I think they match up very well against the Jazz, actually. Because the Jazz still don't have a full body to stop LeBron. And then they play the winners of the Nuggets and Mavericks, and then they end up in a situation where to make it to the Western Conference Finals, you have to beat the Spurs or the Grizz in one game. You have to beat the Jazz and then one of the Nuggets or Mavericks. It's all entirely possible.
So what you're telling me is LeBron is playing the ultimate chess game right now, going to the eighth seed and then making it to the finals.
Even if they, as long as they can't, if they can't get the sixth seed, let's say if Portland wins two games, like let's say Portland beats the Jazz and the Suns, then at that point, the Lakers probably just have to be like, okay, like we got to save our eggs for the eighth seed because they'd rather just lose the first play-in game.
Watch, they sit I'm LeBron in the first game.
I like this. I like this whole narrative. LeBron taking the year to get the eighth seed to make it to the finals.
Yeah, cement his legacy as, what, the only eighth seed to win the title? I mean, I think in 2000, the New York Knicks, or 1999, Knicks went to the finals, but they didn't win ultimately. So maybe it is a LeBron play.
Well, yo, Raj, way to get into LeBron's head, man. I like this.
Yo, should I tweet at him? Maybe do the math for him?
Yeah, just expose his whole plan. Just blast it on Twitter. We'll even put money behind it so it runs as an ad, and then everyone will know that you came up with it before LeBron.
All right, let's do it. To the moon.
Send a tweet to the moon.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right, Raj.
It's entirely possible. Like I'm saying, like, if you want to be healthy going into the playoffs and you can't get that sixth seed, you rather get the eighth seed. Obviously, you play a huge game in the Grizz and the Spurs, but if you're healthy, you like your chances. And let's be real. Like, if the NBA is going to have to decide between the Lakers in the playoffs or Memphis and the Spurs, I'm pretty sure you're going to be playing 6-on-5.
Well, you mean 8-on-5.
Yeah.
Well, you know, DeMar doesn't have exactly the best record against LeBron teams anyways, so.
Exactly.
I don't think we need to worry about the Spurs, as everyone in Toronto knows.
I think the NBA might get Tim Donahue out of retirement for this game.
Oh dear. Raj, is there a playoff matchup or potential matchup that you really want to see right now? Like something that really sticks out to you?
Well, I'll go to the East because we've talked so much about the West. I would love to see the Heat-Bucks rematch, and it looks like it's heading in that direction. Just because it's an ultimate test for the Bucks, like can they get revenge for what happened last year? It's like right out of the gates, they have to face the former Eastern Conference champion, so that's definitely the matchup. And I also like the fact that the Knicks get to play the Hawks, two newcomers to this year's playoffs, and I think they're well matched. They're both inexperienced, and I think that series could be entertaining.
Yeah, I think the Knicks-Hawks series is going to be extremely entertaining because you have two different styles of play. You have one that seems to be suitable for, you know, NBA playoffs basketball with the New York Knicks style and slowing it down and just being super physical. And then you have the team that can score 130 points on any given night. So it's a nice contrast in styles, and I think that series might be one of, if not the best, Eastern Conference playoff matchup, especially if you're able to get at least, hopefully, 5,000 fans into Madison Square Garden.
So we're recording this on Tuesday afternoon, right? Right now the Knicks are a full game ahead of the Heat, between 4 and 6 seed. So I was going to be like, hey, man, like, how can you guarantee that, you know, the Knicks and the Hawks are going to end up playing each other? You know, what if Miami goes up half a seed and then takes that 5th seed from Atlanta? But then I looked at Tankathon to look at their strength of schedule remaining. And the Heat have, within the next 4 games, they have a game against the 76ers, the Bucks, and the not-so-healthy Celtics anymore. The Knicks have a game against the Lakers, who we already talked about, are going to obviously try as hard as they can. And the Celtics, another throwaway game. And Atlanta has the easiest strength of schedule going forward. And when I say easy, I mean they have the Rockets, the Magic, and the Wizards. So, it looks like Atlanta's cementing themselves a good 4th or 5th seed. And all this is what I'm getting at.
Here, and this is some 4D chess for you. The Bucks play the Heat. And if the Bucks don't want to play the Heat in the first round of the playoffs, they will sit Giannis or Chris Middleton or their starters. Mm.
Or they'll just do what they did last night and not try on defense and give 150 points to the Spurs.
That's entirely possible, because I don't know how it helps with the Spurs, but with the Heat, if they allow the Heat to win that game, and especially if the Heat can beat up on the Celtics tonight, the Heat have a very good shot of getting to that 4-5 matchup. And the Bucks have almost solidified themselves as the number 3 seed. And I think the Bucks rather play the Hawks. Or, the Knicks. Either or.
Whew. It's hot. I mean, man, I don't even know. I don't know. I got nothing, man. what is ideal in this situation?
I mean, if you're a higher seeded team, you don't want to play the Heat, obviously. If you're going to play a team in that group, you want to play the Hawks or the Knicks, obviously. Especially probably the Knicks, because they're going to have a hard time scoring in the playoffs.
The Knicks will?
Oh, yeah. They have a hard time scoring in regular season. Hawks? Like, imagine once you're able to game plan for their attack. I mean, most of their plays run through Randall. And, you know, if you have a good defensive team, you can easily shut that down.
But they are a good defensive team, Josh.
No, they're a great defensive team, obviously, but they can't score the ball. So that can be an issue against, well, most good teams, right?
Yeah, like against set defenses. And ultimately, like Josh mentioned, you don't want to play the Heat. If I'm the Bucks, I'm sitting everyone in the, like, I'm sitting, like, DiVincenzo against the Heat. And I want the Heat basically to rest up for their next game against the Sixers. Because I want them to win that game, and I'd really rather play the Knicks and the Hawks, and ultimately you want them out of your bracket.
You know what? I think the Bucks should go the opposite route. I think it's time for them to prove their mettle. They shouldn't be wanting the team that knocked them out last year in the playoffs. Get that nice round one out of the way, go a 6 or 7 game series, prove to the world that they're not the same team as last year. Sort of like, remember the Celtics way back when they had KG, Ray Allen, and Paul Pierce, that first round series against the Hawks where they went 7 games? That ultimately, like, helped them win the rest of the way, right? You need to be tested early. Let's get a Bucks Heat series, in the first round.
This guy just wants chaos.
And good playoff matchups. Like, that would be the best playoff matchup, I think, you know, playoff scenario anyway, with the Bucks and the Heat, the Hawks against the Knicks, and then hopefully you get Washington against Brooklyn. We definitely need that.
Yeah, but ultimately the Bucks will know by Saturday kind of how things will play out. Like, if the Heat lose against the Celtics and the Sixers, like, then they might as well play the Bucks at full strength. And I think those Saturday-Sunday games are going to be really interesting. And even though the NBA probably doesn't want teams to tank or, like, throw some games, I think it's ultimately going to happen, because if you can kind of decide your matchup in the brackets, you're going to try to take the path with least resistance. So I'm not going to blame the Bucks if they do that, but ultimately we're going to see some good playoff matchups. I think most of the teams are fairly evenly matched in both conferences.
All right, well, let's move on, guys. This is actually hilarious, because this leads perfectly into my question. I'm bringing on a new segment called This or That. I'm going to pop you guys with a couple of questions, and you give me, you know, would you rather have this or that? Pretty simple, pretty basic stuff. And, I mean, the first question was, who did you want in the 4-5 matchup? Or who do you think will win in this 4-5 matchup? assuming that, you know, we get what we want. The Bucks and the Heat play each other in 3-6, and the Knicks and Hawks go 4-5. Who would you have in this series of seven, Raj?
Oof, this is tough. I'm going to probably have to say the team with the better defense in the Knicks. So that's a shout out to you, Daryl.
Yeah, it's tough, honestly. Like, Julius Randle, I think, has put up like 39 points per game against the Hawks this season, if I'm not mistaken. So he just put up his best numbers against that team. And they do have a better defense, but Atlanta has more talent. And they'd have home court, which doesn't really mean a lot, since I think that Atlanta's supposed to have the largest crowd out of anybody going into the playoffs. I think they're allowing like 9,000 people.
Yeah, they're allowing 9,000 or 10,000. Like, they're close to like 75% capacity.
I mean, that's what they get for playoff games regardless when they have 18,000 potentially. So it's not going to make much of a difference anyway. But, you know, I'm just going to go opposite of Raj. I'll take the Hawks.
Wow, you're going to put your money on Trae Young? My God.
I mean, I think it's going to come down to what Knicks fans have wanted basically the entire second half of the season, and that they've wanted Derrick Rose to be starting games, which ultimately is not a good idea because you don't want to see him break down, obviously, but he's playing starters minutes right now. And I think come playoff time, you're going to have to start him because you can't have those Alfred Payton minutes. Like, it's sort of like comparing, you know, what happened with Philadelphia against the Raptors, where you sat Joel Embiid for a certain amount of minutes per game. I sort of see the same sort of scenario with the Knicks, realizing by maybe game two, even though it should be game one, that this guy should not be playing. And if you're not going to start Rose in that scenario, maybe at that point you start quickly and just play your best players. If they do that, then wow. I would probably take the Knicks. But I think that Thibodeau is probably going to stick with Payton.
Oh, he's definitely going to stick with Payton, man. Quickly's not going to start. Imagine Quickly and Trae Young going at it, though. That'd be fun.
Indeed.
All right, next question. Sticking with our beloved New York Knicks, would you rather have Bam Adebayo or Julius Randle on your team, Josh?
For the Knicks going forward or this season?
Just in general, who would you rather have, assuming they're at the same age, who would you, and the same skill set as right now, who would you rather have to start a team?
Definitely Bam, for sure. Bam's an anchor, and he's gotten so much better over, you know, the course of the last couple of years on offense too. Like, he's arguably a top 20 player. I mean, Randle has been this season, but he doesn't have the record that Bam has the last few seasons. Like, he's put up stats, obviously, but this is his first year where he's put it all together. And Bam at least has, like, two or three seasons like that. And Bam just continues to get better like Randle has this year. But ultimately, the defense is the difference.
Yeah, for this season, it has to be... For the Knicks, this season has to be Julius Randle. They need a scorer, someone who can take over. But overall, I agree with Josh. Bam's just the better player, even though Randle's older and has a bit more experience. Bam plays on both sides of the ball. Amazing player. He's going to be a star in this league.
All right. Good answers. Next question. If you were the Utah Jazz, the number one seed, would you want... Oh, I guess we covered part of this already. Would you rather chase around Steph Curry around all those goddamn screens? Or would you just, you know, bite the bullet and take LeBron and Anthony Davis in the first round and get it over with? Raj, which would you prefer?
Of course Steph Curry, because they don't have an answer for LeBron James. And ultimately, if you're able to even stop the other players around Steph and make Steph go for 50 or 60, you still have a good chance of winning those games. So any day of the week, if I'm the Utah Jazz, I'd rather play the Warriors.
Yeah, if you have the choice, obviously you want to play the Warriors. You know, obviously I'm contradicting myself based on what I said before with the Bucks. But in this scenario, you're playing like, you know, the champions from last year. So it's a little bit different. And, you know, there is some people saying that it's better to cash the Lakers early while they're still injured, which I'm not even sure if they are at this point. I think LeBron's fine. And Anthony Davis obviously had two massive games in a row now, so I think he's fully back now too. So if you can avoid the Lakers. Because they're not a good matchup for anybody, really.
Okay, an amendment to this question then. Warriors or Trailblazers? Who would you rather face as the Jazz?
Oof. That's a much better question. I think you would I think you would definitely go with the Jazz and Warriors. If you're the Jazz, because again, Steph is one person, unbelievable player. But even if you stop everyone else, their supporting cast hasn't been consistent. You stop their supporting cast, Steph's going to have to go for 60, and you still have a chance to win.
Yeah, I think that Dame and Steph are obviously comparable, but then you have CJ McCollum with Dame. So ultimately, I think that you want to play the Warriors because, as you mentioned, their supporting cast is not very good.
You're not going to say Andrew Wiggins and CJ McCollum are comparable?
Oh, yeah, they're very comparable.
Oh, poor Andrew Wiggins. All right, next question. For Defensive Player of the Year, Josh, who do you have between Ben Simmons and Rudy Gobert? The leading candidates.
I think at this point, you probably have to give it to Gobert because Simmons has missed a bunch of games, and he hasn't been that good recently, to be honest, anyway. Who would I rather have on my team, though? I'd rather have Simmons because he's just he can guard 1-5. So give me that versatility in the playoffs. Against Rudy Gobert, we've seen it. Like, we've seen the all-star guards put him in pick and roll every single play and just take advantage of him. I mean, he's...
Hey. His perimeter defense has gotten better this year, man. He's got active hands this year.
It has gotten better, but ultimately he can't keep up with those guys when it matters. So he's 7'2". You can't expect him to.
Rush?
Yeah, you're just going to have to copy and paste Josh's answer for mine. I'm going to cheat off of him here. It has to be Gobert, especially with the Jazz, what they're able to do on defense. And Simmons, great individual defender, and 76ers had a lot of success. But ultimately, I think Gobert has been a bigger defensive impact player on his team.
All right, fine, fair enough. All right, this is the best question that I have then. I guarantee this is the best question. Josh, in the past, we've talked about, you know, we don't want to see the Spurs in the goddamn play-in tournament because who wants to watch that team? But would you rather watch the Spurs in the play-in tournament or a Zion Williamson-less New Orleans Pelicans team in the play-in tournament? Oh, see, I got you.
I think you'd rather watch the Spurs, to be honest. At least they have some young players that, you know, can put up some decent games with, you know, DeJounte Murray and Keldon Johnson. Obviously, DeMar is still a good player, even though I'm not a big fan of his game.
Oh, yes, he is.
But, yeah, I mean, the Pelicans are a tough watch right now. I mean, they're going through Bledsoe for a lot of their possessions, so I'm out on that.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's cold.
Again, I'm cheating over, but not even. I've always been at least a bit more of a fan of DeMar than Josh has, and I think he does give you consistent scoring. And I think ultimately the Spurs, with their good coaching and Greg Popovich, they can possibly put on some good games, and they might make it into a second play-in game. So I definitely see them rather than the Zion-less Pelicans.
I won't lie to you. I might actually prefer to watch the current Houston Rockets over this Pelicans team as constructed right now. This Pelican team is awful to watch. At least with the Rockets, you can at least have some fun with like Kelly Olynyk and Jayshon Tate, hilariously enough.
Yeah, and if they were healthy, like they're actually somewhat decent in terms of entertainment value with Christian Wood as well, and you know Porter, obviously, like you mentioned, Olynyk putting up all-star numbers.
Yeah. Kelly Olynyk is going to get paid this summer. Woo! Yeah,
he will.
It's gonna be a big summer for Canada basketball, man. All right, that's it. That's it for my questions. Let's hit up some stats corner, Josh.
All right, so something quick for this week. We are going to go through which pairs of players assist to each other the most. Okay, so most assists from one player to a single teammate. Can you name the top? Should we go 10 or 5?
5.
If we do it quickly, let's go 5.
All right, we'll do 5 then. So this is as of a couple days ago. Can you name the most assists from one player to a single teammate in 2020-2021?
All right, Draymond to Steph.
They are at number one, 177 assists so far.
Wow. I was going to say Jokic to Murray, but Murray's been hurt for a while.
They are number 14.
That's still not bad.
I got this one.
Do it.
Trey to Clint Capella.
They are number 5 at 128 overall and 3.5 per 36.
The stone hands, eh, Rush?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, those stubs will put in the basket somehow. Those passes must be really good from Trey Young.
Is there a Chris Paul to I don't want to say Ayton to Booker.
No, you had it the first time. They are number two, 137 assists, so 40 less than Steph and Draymond.
Wow. Chris Paul, making everybody good.
How about some Russell Westbrook to Bradley Beal?
They are number three at 135. And the last one is actually including somebody you've already named. So it's on the same team as somebody you've already named.
Jokic?
Nope.
Oh.
One of the top five. Yeah, one of those players goes twice in this situation.
Let's... Can't be Draymond. That would be absurd. No
one
else.
It's not Draymond and Wiggins. Don't worry.
You have to make the baskets.
Exactly.
All right. Would it be Russell Westbrook?
Nope.
No.
Nah, no way. And it's not Chris Paul.
Nope. That leaves one guy.
I don't even remember who the fourth guy we named was, to be honest.
It was Draymond.
Stubbs. What? Did you say Stauskas?
Stubbs?
Oh, what's his
name? It's the other guy.
Trey?
And?
Trey to Collins?
There you go. 132. Wow.
Stubbs.
So quickly, let's see who names the 6 to 10. Who can name more in the 6 to 10 range?
Is there a Dennis Schroeder to Montrezl Harrell connection?
No, that was last year. Sorry.
Yeah. What about last year, Dennis Schroeder? How about the Ja Morant to JV connection?
Not on the list.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That would have been nice. Simmons to Embiid?
Nope. Not on the list.
Wow.
There's two on this list from the same team in the Eastern Conference that we never expected to be a playoff team.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And a player that's most likely going to be the most improved player this year.
Yeah, so Rose to Randall?
Randall to Barrett?
Oh,
Randall to Barrett, that is one of them. And he's got a second one, too.
Nice. Randall to Nerlens?
No. Nerlens hasn't played enough.
If you've watched the Knicks recently, there's one specific guy he always goes to in first quarters, especially.
The Reggie?
Yes, Reggie Bullock.
Wow.
Jeez.
Who the hell is Reggie?
I'm Mr. Bennett. I'm Reggie.
What you doing here?
Came to take out Megan.
What?
I came to take out Megan.
How old are you?
I'm 15, Mr. Bennett.
Motherfucker, you look 30. Show me some ID.
I don't have none on me.
You don't have no idea. Get your ass up against that wall. What the fuck is your problem? You think you know it all. You little young thundercats. You got joints on you?
No.
You smoke that shit?
No, sir.
You trying to get my daughter high? You smoke Marvin. That shit?
Nigga, who that is,
it's
dog?
Reggie!
Who the fuck is Reggie?
He's played well this year. He's been, like, probably their key player in terms of, you know, their starting lineup. two of them you've already... Well, one of them you named for sure is Chris Paul to Devin Booker. And then Jokic to...
Not Murray,
MPJ.
Eh?
There you go.
Yes.
They were actually number six overall. And last one, Westbrook, another one. Who is his teammate that he assisted to?
Rui!
There you go.
Woo! Top 10 in something.
Yay.
Top 10 in our hearts. You,
I'm telling you, he's going to be a player.
Top 10 and having someone dump off the ball to him. Good job.
Yo, when Rui comes in and takes out, they're probably going to be the 8th seed, but if they're able to, he's going to go play and guard Simmons and hand him a number or two.
That's quite the prediction. No.
Nope. Good try. Oh, last thing, Josh, I talked about this with Raj the other day. Who would you rather have, OG Anunoby or Rui Hachimura?
What kind of question is that? Oh my, like Rui and 15 first round picks maybe.
No. The question was, at this point in their career, so this is OG's what, third full season or fourth?
Third?
I think it's his fourth.
I think it's his fourth this year.
Yeah, he was injured a lot
one year. Yeah. He didn't play much as a rookie, right?
Yeah, I said Rui
I said Rui in his second season is better than what OG was in his second season. That was the statement. Peter's trying to misconstruct my words.
No, that's not true. Because OG, I think he played in the playoffs in his first rookie season. He was actually quite good, which is why people thought that he was going to grow to be an actual like starter or a starting caliber player. And now OG is hitting Dirk fadeaways, and he's one of the best defensive players in the NBA. And he can actually dribble fadeaways. Now.
He is one of the best perimeter defenders in the league.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like he's... But again, I think in OG's second year, I think Rui's at a higher stage. That's what that's how I see it.
What does Rui do well at this point?
He's all around. He's a Swiss Army knife from Japan.
See, that's when you know you're not a very good player, is when you have to say that.
No,
he's
like
a Japanese Army knife.
Exactly. Like I think he's a decent defender. And he's still like he's good at rebounding the ball. He's pretty good at passing. Like his dribble's not bad. Like I think he's an overall solid player.
He's averaging less rebounds this year than last year. He's averaging less assists this year than last year.
Of course, you have Russell Westbrook. Hold on. Come on.
Yeah, that's not fair.
His free throw percentage has gone down.
That's Russell Westbrook.
32% from three, which you'd think would be higher with Westbrook on your team.
Wait, what is it?
32%.
What was it last year?
29%.
Oh my god. So next year
we're 35. I'm telling you, by the time he's at OG's fourth season, 38%.
My goodness.
Oh, those are some bad numbers, man. 32% is not good. I thought he was a better shooter than that, to be honest.
He's a mid-range guy, and even there he's not that great.
Alright. Well, let's call it there. Enough Rui slander. I want to thank everyone for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe on iTunes. Leave us those comments. Leave us those 5-star reviews, Raj. You can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, all of the major podcast platforms. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Hoops Corner Pod. And until next time, peace.